Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
Okay, everybody, it's time for a game. I'll sing my song and you do just what the song says. Here we go. Rub your tummy just like this. Rub it all day long. Rub your tummy, rub it hard while we sing our song. Rub, 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 play and sing along.
Good morning. You are tuning into Growing Good. This is Alessandra Maria Ivoroni, your host. And it's a lovely spring Indian summer type day in Brooklyn, New York, where we're airing out of. Today's topics are some alerts for consumers on do's and don'ts at the grocery store. Also, honey, what's up with that during your pregnancy and for your newborn? And just a basic list once and for all of what foods you should avoid during your pregnancy. So we're just going to have an overall here for you expecting parents, new parents, and also individuals who want to know what's going on with some of the fruits and vegetables you're buying at the grocery store. So let's start with that. And I want to credit a great store called Treehouse in Brooklyn for, shedding light on this next topic for me, because it was just a simple Facebook post that said, "Guess I'm off strawberries." And I was like, "What is that about?" So I clicked on it and I found out what I'm about to share with you. So you may already know that conventional strawberries fall into the dirty dozen list. I did not know this. So we're going to be going over what the dirty dozen list is. And the dirty dozen list is conventional foods that you should avoid. So something like strawberries, it's because strawberries are sprayed with massive amounts of chemicals. Washing doesn't help very much because the surface of the strawberries with the seeds creates a small crater like area for the chemicals to reside in. And the result is a very toxic fruit with over 54 different pesticide residues. Yuck. So that's gross. Anything packaged like that, you're going to have to expect this kind of sprayed chemicals. But strawberries are on the dirty dozen list because of the seeds and the craters, and that, you know, it really, really gets in there. Methyl iodine is said to be one of the most toxic chemicals to date. So recently, the newly approved chemical methyl iodine, which is used to fumigate the strawberry fields in California even, is under a heavy debate. Methyl iodine is said to be one of the most toxic chemicals to date. So in quotes here, and this is from the New York Times, methyl iodine is a known carcinogen and neurotoxin that causes late-term miscarriages. It's terrible. Scientists using this chemical in the lab to induce cancer in cells take serious precautions using a ventilation hood and protective gear when handling small amounts, yet they're spraying it over fields in California. In California, methyl iodide would be injected into the soil as a gas at rates of up to 100 pounds per acre. In addition to the threat posed to farm workers and communities living next to strawberry fields, methyl iodide would likely contaminate their groundwater. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, I always have to laugh about Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, but he was the governor during this time. And he approved this chemical last year after phasing out the chemical methyl bromide because of its detrimental environmental impact. Even though more than 50 scientists and doctors, including 5 Nobel winners in chemistry, wrote an urgent letter to the EPA warning the agency about the dangers of methyl iodide in October 2007, and the EPA approved its use regardless. It is so reliably carcinogenic that it's used to create cancer cells in laboratories. This new chemical may be better for the ozone layer, but it is said to be even worse for humans who work in the fields, those who are in close proximity to strawberry fields, as well as those who eat strawberries. It is so reliably carcinogenic that it's used, again, in laboratories to fight cancer or create cancer cells for them to test on and try to find a cure on. So, I mean, this is serious stuff. Again, here in the LA Times say that farm workers who rarely use respirators are especially at risk when in contact with methyl iodide, which is listed under California's Proposition 65 as a carcinogen. Also, laboratories tests on animals have linked methyl iodide to miscarriages. Again, this is the LA Times. Cognitive impairment and thyroid toxicity. Several environmental and health advocate organizations are bringing awareness to this harmful chemical and urging the policy to be changed. These groups have received support from 35 California legislators who are petitioning Governor Brown to reconsider the state's position on the fumigant. So we encourage you all to only buy strawberries that are organic, and even better, only when they are in season. But of course, the best is at your local farmer's market, prepackaged. In a couple months, there will be most deliciously ripe strawberries still warm from the sun at your local farmer's market, so hit that up. In the meantime, contact Governor Brown and urge him to ban the use of methyl iodine. Now, we're in New York, but this completely affects us. Most of our citrus does come from California at your local markets. Everyone knows that eating more fruits and vegetables will help you fight disease, feel more energetic, and boost your immunity, but not all fruit and vegetables are created equal, people. When buying produce from the grocery store, you basically have two choices, organic or conventional. When dealing with conventional produce, you can pretty much guarantee that it has been heavily sprayed with toxic chemicals. However, some conventional produce are worse than others. So the Environmental Working Group recently released an updated list of the Dirty Dozen. And this is what really caught my attention. The fruits and vegetables with the highest pesticide levels are, drumroll, the Dirty Dozen. 1, apples. 2, celery. 3, strawberries. 4, peaches. 5, spinach. So far, these are Wally's favorite foods in order. Wally is, of course, my 22-month-old son. 6, nectarines imported. 7, grapes that are imported. 8, sweet bell peppers. 9, potatoes, because obviously the soil. 10, blueberries, domestic blueberries. 11, lettuce. 12, kale and collard greens. Several of these items, kale, spinach, and the berries, are some of the most nutritious fruits and vegetables, but you should think twice before buying conventional, or you could cancel out their benefits. If you are able, shell out a little extra cash and buy these items organic or locally. I'm a huge advocate of buying locally because you actually get to ask your farmer about their growing practices. Many times a local farmer will use organic practices but not be certified organic. And we know about that. We know that we've covered that in On Growing Good on an earlier date, that actually, sadly, a company has to be only 10% organic to claim organic on their packaging. We've also tackled serious issues like greenwashing. Greenwashing is when advertising companies spend more money on making a package of a consumer item look green than it would actually cost the company to change their formulas and growing methods and make the product organic. So you really, what it really boils down to is that the best thing you can do is buy locally and hit your farmer's market. They also did, to shed some light on this dark topic, release a list of the clean 15. Dun, 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 dun. If you do not have a local farmer's market, the Environmental Working Group has also come up with a clean 15 list. Produce with the lowest pesticide levels. 1 is onions. 2, sweet corn. 3, pineapples. 4, avocado. 5, asparagus. 6, sweet peas. 7, mangoes. 8, eggplant. 9, cantaloupe, as long as it's domestic. 10, kiwi. 11, cabbage. 12, watermelon. 13, sweet potatoes. 14, grapefruit. And 15, mushrooms. So that's interesting because sweet potatoes are on the clean 15, but regular potatoes are on the dirty dozen. So this is just something you can refer to. I mean, for me, for example, myself, it's Thursday. I'm all out of veggies. My farmer's market that I hit comes Saturday mornings. What do I do? Well, if I'm going to hit the supermarket, I'll opt to buy some sweet potatoes tonight instead of regular potatoes, or I will opt to buy pineapples, which is ours on the clean 15 for my son, instead of the strawberries. Whatever I can do till my local farmer's market sets up and I can go and shop there. So these conventionally grown items on the Clean 15 are safer to consume and will allow you to offset the cost of having to buy others organically. When in doubt, remember this great motto when choosing produce. All right, here we go. So one, if not locally produced, then organic. If you can't do that, if not organic, then family farm. If not family farm, then local business. If not a local business, then conventional. If all else fails, at least don't eat at McDonald's. And all this information was found on this great site that I found called marycrimmins.com, MaryCrimmins.com. Mary is... lives in Nashville, and she's just a foodie, and she's got a great blog, and you should check it out. And I asked myself last night, like I said, wow, I need to go shopping. I'm all out. My farmer's market doesn't, you know, the one that I hit is Saturday mornings at McCarran Park. Sometimes if I have time, I will make the trek to the Union Square market that's open in the winters on Wednesdays. But what do I do right now? I didn't have those chances. So, you know, I called around locally. And for us locals in Brooklyn, and you can do this wherever you reside, wherever you're listening to this program right now, you just need to do a little research. It might be a 10-minute drive. It might be a 15-minute drive. We have the Brooklyn Kitchen, which is also home of the very awesome Meat Hook. I called them last night, and I was like, oh, well, what, you know, farm... raised vegetables and fruits do you have right now? And of course they were like, well, our selection because of the season is a lot smaller, but they did have some citrus, and they did have some apples from upstate, and they had lots of root vegetables, beets, etc. And then I started thinking to myself, okay, well, what if you live in a town that's not hip and doesn't have something like the Brooklyn Kitchen that really just find people that go out of their way to make these items available to me? Well, if you really, really want to do something for yourself in your town, you can go out of your way and make the introduction. Maybe a local cafe that wants to have a farm stand in the front. Or, for example, there were certain beauty products that I wanted for Wally by Desert Essence. They have a baby oil that I love because I just don't have time to make my own, even though it's something that lots of my other moms do and a topic that I've shared recipes with online. And I went to this bodega around the corner, and I said, hey, you know, if you carry these items, I'm going to buy them, and I'm going to send my friends here to buy them. And sure enough, the owner did. Because, you know, even though he's a bodega, he is a local business, and he wants to support, you know, his local customers. So that's something else interesting that you might want to get into if you're somewhere where you don't have a farmer's market or somewhere where your options are a bit less limited and you want to hip up your town. Make the connection, find the farm, talk to them, find the store, and make the introduction, tell all your friends about it, throw a party, something like that. Because it is very hard to maintain. And because we know, obviously, the number one store, supermarkets, is Food Town in America, Walmart, wherever else. You know, they dominate. So we're going to go to our break right now. I had a dream about these guys last night. They're a great band, Tenarwin. And when we get back, we're going to tackle honey and some do's and don'ts in the kitchen for all you expecting mothers out there.
Oh, This program was sponsored by White Oak Pastures. The Harris family has lived and farmed White Oak Pastures for 145 years. They are committed to sustainable land stewardship and humane animal stockmanship. Their mission? We take care of the land and the herd, and they take care of us. For more information about their cattle and their farm, visit whiteoakpastures.com.
Welcome back to Growing Good. This is Alessandra. This is a parenting show. And our second segment today is for all you expecting parents. This topic was brought up by my mother, Wally's grandmother, because we were talking about honey. My niece had a sore throat. And I said, oh, give her a teaspoon of honey. Of course, my niece is 4 years old. And my mother said to me, oh, I totally forgot about that. When your brother was a baby, I used to dip his pacifier in honey and stick it in his mouth, and he loved it so much, haha. And of course, we know now in our generation, or I'm hoping that you know, and if you don't know, you're about to find out, that honey for children and infants under 1 year old is actually very dangerous, and it's a big no-no nowadays. But of course, with generations, we've learned things. I mean, my mother's generation, they didn't know smoking was bad for you, although it's so hard for me to believe that a pregnant woman smoking a cigarette didn't never cross her mind that that was bad for her baby. But it didn't, because you wait for, you know, the news to let you know about these things. Doctors let you know, you don't think twice. And that's what's so great about Heritage Radio Network and our programs, is that we're thinking twice, you know, for others that want to think twice. And so that's what's going on today. Honey, what is up with that? Because I did not touch honey my entire pregnancy. And in researching, I found out that, well, I'll let you know. Many parents know that it is not safe to give honey to a baby younger than 1 year of age. The reason that this is advised is because honey can contain a botulinum spore that in the proper environment may cause the deadly food poisoning botulism. Acid will inhibit the spore from growing and producing the toxin. A baby's immature digestive system is not yet acidic enough to inhibit the toxin from being produced, whereas the digestive system of an older baby and adults is. In other words, the baby's digestive tract provides a nice, warm, air-free, low-acid environment where botulinum spores just love to grow. And when it grows, it will produce the toxin, and the toxin produced by the spore is the danger. However, a pregnant mom can safely eat honey, and this also includes while you're breastfeeding. Her digestive tract is acidic and will prevent a botulinum spore from growing. No toxin will be produced, and there is no danger to the fetus from the mom to be eating honey or honey containing foods. Now, I read What to Expect When You're Expecting, and I remember clearly it freaking me out about honey, and I did not eat honey, one of my favorite things, my entire pregnancy. So I kind of went a little bit further because I was in disbelief that you can eat honey during your pregnancy. And on babycenter.com, we have three OBGYNs. Marcy Treadwell, OBGYN, says, yes, it is safe to eat honey during pregnancy. Honey poses a risk to infants under 1 year old because it may contain spores of bacteria that cause botulism. And also Janice Aubrey, OBGYN, says, yes, it's safe as long as the honey is pasteurized, she adds. The risk with eating honey is really a theoretical risk for exposure to botulism, a form of food poisoning, in young children under age two. So she says two. So there's different things. Some people say honey, keep honey away from your children under one. Some people say keep honey just in case under age two. But pretty much also Matthew Bechera, OBGYN for babycenter.com, says that it's safe for pregnant women to eat honey. He says, I get that question so often from my patients. There's nothing in the literature that says you can't eat honey during pregnancy. The spores in honey are not going to affect the fetus, so I would say honey is safe to eat. He says that he does usually tell his patients to avoid anything unpasteurized, though only because he feels it's not worth taking a chance, and that's things like sushi, raw meats. And I recommend avoiding unpasteurized honey. He recommends avoiding unpasteurized honey, just as he would recommend avoiding unpasteurized cheese while you're pregnant. So I was still like, oh, okay, well, is it under one? Is it under two? What's going on? And I decided to hit American Academy of Pediatrics. This is what they have to say about botulism. Although botulism is a rare illness, most parents have heard of it and know that it is often related to eating contaminated food. And botulism can be a very serious disease. And this is what they have to say. They're going to go with it step by step. It's a serious disease because it can cause abnormal functioning of the nerves, leading to weakness and paralysis. Botulism is caused by poisons produced by a spore-forming bacteria called, bear with me here, Clostridium botulinum. Food-borne botulism arises when food becomes contaminated with C. botulinum spores, and then it is stored improperly. Improper storage of food allows the bacteria to grow and make toxins. Outbreaks of this type of botulism have occurred while eating not only home canned foods, but also potato salad, restaurant-prepared foods such as patty melts, aluminum foil-wrapped baked potatoes, and bottled garlic. So basically, they're letting you know that what you really want to look out for with your children under one and yourself during your pregnancy is the storage of foods, which I know can be hard if you're eating out or ordering in delivery, but it's something serious to, you know, take notice of. And they continue to say that infant botulism occurs mostly in babies younger than 6 months. So they're going down to 6 months. It develops when spores are eaten by a baby and the bacteria grows in his intestines, making toxins within the gut. The source of the spores is usually unclear. They may be present in soil or dust and then become airborne, where they are breathed in and swallowed by the child. Honey and light and dark corn syrups are other potential sources of the disease-causing spores. So honey is the big thing all around for everybody. The signs and symptoms, in case you feel that this is happening to you, in patients for whom botulism is foodborne infected, may progress rapidly. It often begins with feelings of weakness and loss of muscle tone that spread through the body. Children may have blurred or double vision, a dry mouth, drooping eyelids, and difficulty swallowing and speaking. The toxin can cause paralysis of the trunk, arms, legs, and respiratory system. In these foodborne infections, symptoms start soon after they are contaminated. The contaminated food is eaten, and typically within 12 to 48 hours. But of course, with infants, they can't let you know if their vision is blurred. They can't let you know if they're feeling weak. And that's why the big rule of thumb here on growing good is no honey. Again, American Pediatric Association says before 6 months. BabyCenter.com says before 2 years. Others just give it a average of 1 year old. Decide for yourself. But, you know, it's just something to be super, super, super safe of. But you can eat it while you're pregnant. So then I did another search for you guys just to double check, because I know we're all so paranoid with our little ones. Can a nursing mother eat honey? And this concludes our honey segment. Honey is not a problem for moms to eat. The gut flora of adults and children are over a year old are able to fend off the botulism spores that may be present in honey and render them harmless. So you know about eating food and you think, oh, it's going through my breast milk. But in researching for the honey, I read up on lots of articles and chat room topics with doctors and moms. And your breast milk is fine. You can eat whatever you want. You can eat as spicy of foods as you want. You can eat sushi. Your body breaks it down. And this is everything except for prescription drugs, over-the-counter medicines, caffeine and alcohol, and smoke, and cigarette smoke, and the chemicals in cigarettes. Those are the things that can go through your body, through your breast pores and out your breast milk and into your baby. So you want to be careful of that. And we're going to finish up today's segment. And these are just little things that I had put aside since I've joined Heritage Radio Network here, that I just wanted to share with my public. And these are, what are the foods we should avoid during pregnancy? And I am on the AmericanPregnancyAssociation.org. So this is, you know, this is as top as it gets. Here we go. Raw meat. Uncooked seafood and rare or undercooked beef or poultry should be avoided because of the risk of contamination with coliform bacteria, toxoplasmosis, and salmonella. Deli meat. Deli meats have been known to be contaminated with Listeria, which can cause miscarriage. Listeria has the ability to cross the placenta and may infect the baby, leading to infection or blood poisoning, which may be life-threatening. If you're pregnant and you're considering eating deli meats, make certain that you reheat the meat until it is steaming. I remember doing this because I remember getting my sandwiches. I mean, is how hard is it to avoid deli meats? But I would put it in the microwave for like 30 seconds and it would be like boiling and steamy. It was a little bit more chewy, obviously, and not as fun, but I did do this myself with my deli meats before ingesting them. Fish with mercury. Fish that contain high levels of mercury should be avoided. Mercury consumed during pregnancy has been linked to developmental delays and brain damage. A sample of these types of fish include shark, swordfish, king mackerel, and tilefish. Canned chunk light tuna generally has a lower amount of mercury than other tuna, but should only be eaten in moderation. Certain types of fish used in sushi should also be avoided due to high levels of mercury. So we love our sushi, and I have my friends who ate sushi during their pregnancy and everything went fine. But again, I was just one of those moms that was like, no sushi for me for 9 months. But I will tell you that I drank a glass of red wine every 3 weeks because I read all these European researchers that actually said that a nice full-bodied glass of red wine raises IQ. So there's different things, America, Europe, everybody has their different things. Again, you're going to make your own decisions and, you know, you're going to live and let live. But this is what the AmericanPregnancy.org says about fish. They keep going. Smoked seafood. Refrigerated smoked seafood, often labeled as lox, Novastal, or jerky, should be avoided because it could be contaminated with Listeria. These are safe to eat when they're in an ingredient in a meal that has been cooked, like a casserole or like a salmon pasta. This type of fish is often found in the deli section of your grocery store. Canned or shell-safe smoked seafood is usually okay to eat. Fish exposed to industrial pollutants. Avoid fish from contaminated lakes and rivers that may be exposed to high levels but toxins. But, you know, that's, how do we know? Where are they coming from? What lakes? We know the world we live in. So I would say that's pretty much all of them. This is primarily for those who fish in local lakes and streams. These fish include bluefish, striped bass, salmon, pike, trout, and walleye. So basically what they're saying is, even if your husband goes out fishing and brings you back a nice piece of trout and it's the freshest thing you've ever seen, maybe check with your local district or what's going on with that lake, with that river. Raw shellfish. The majority of seafood-borne illness is caused by undercooked shellfish, which include oysters, clams, and mussels. Cooking helps to prevent some types of infection, but it does not prevent the algae-related infections that are associated with red tides. Raw shellfish pose a concern for everybody, and they should be avoided altogether during pregnancy. I do remember I ate fish that was very cooked and boiled, but I did not eat any shellfish, and I did not give Wally any shellfish until he was a year old. Raw eggs. Raw eggs or any foods that contain raw eggs should be avoided because of the potential exposure to salmonella. So this includes sauces. Some homemade Caesar dressings, mayonnaise, homemade ice cream or custards, and Hollandaise sauces may be made with raw eggs. So double check your brunch choices. If the recipe is cooked at some point, that will reduce the exposure to the salmonella. Soft cheeses. Imported soft cheeses may contain bacteria called Listeria, again, which can cause miscarriage. Listeria has the ability to cross the placenta. We've been over this. So they're saying, you know, that you should avoid soft cheeses such as brie, feta, gorgonzola, Mexican-style cheeses that include queso blanco or queso fresco, unless they clearly state that they are made from pasteurized milk. And then again, they go on unpasteurized milk. They don't want you anywhere near it. Pâté, refrigerated pâté or meat spreads should be avoided. And then, of course, the big caffeine and alcohol. We all know about that. I'll let you do the research for yourself since we are out of time. But no caffeine, tuk, 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 no alcohol. Tuk, tuk, tuk. I had some red wine every once in a while, but I told you about me. So you make the decisions for yourself. And then the last thing that they recommend is unwashed vegetables. No, no. Yes, vegetables are safe to eat, so you still need to eat them. However, it is essential that you make sure they are washed to avoid potential exposure to toxoplasmosis. Toxoplasmosis may contaminate the soil where the vegetables were grown. This is Alessandra. I hope that I've been some help to you in your journey into miracle making that is bringing life to planet Earth. See you next week.
All the tired horses in the sun, how am I supposed to get any riding done? All the tired horses in the sun, how am I supposed to get any riding done? All the tired horses in the sun, how am I supposed to get any riding done?
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.